But first, the zero instruction hack. Here's the premise. One minute you're teaching your kid to tie a shoe, and the next he's showing you how to program the new Blu-ray player. Yes, young minds do tend to have an easier time adapting to new technologies. The question is whether that trope holds water in developing countries where kids have never seen so much as a calculator. Ed McNerney is Chief Technology Officer of the One Laptop Per Child Foundation, one of two organizations working to create equal educational opportunities for the world's poor using low-cost technology. The One Laptop Per Child Project recently conducted an experiment in Ethiopia, dropping off boxes of tablet computers with zero instructions on how to use them. Ed's on the line to tell us what happened. Ed McNerney, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thanks, Virginia. It's good to be here.
What can you tell us about the communities where you conducted this experiment? Were they urban, remote?
Well, they were fairly remote communities, and part of the reason we chose them was to try to answer the question, could these tools and technologies be used by children who have no teachers and no access to school in an environment that's really entirely illiterate, a community that's entirely illiterate? Ethiopia has one of the lowest adult literacy rates in the world. It's also a country we've worked with before. We're pretty familiar there. So we really did want to choose an illiterate community that's a little bit out of the way. But that was tempered by the fact that since this was an early-stage experiment, we had to work with engineers from Addis Ababa who traveled to the sites once a week. So they really couldn't be entirely remote.
Now, many people who have been following your work or seen images of the One Laptop that One Laptop Per Child has developed, it looks kind of, like I think of an indestructible Fisher-Price toy or something. I'm curious about what you gave them for tablets, not iPads, I take it.
That's true. And actually, that image of our laptop is one we're pretty proud of. It's actually the only laptop in the world that is certified to be safe as a children's toy. So we care about that a lot. But we didn't choose iPads for these tablet experiments for a couple of reasons. The most important one actually is probably not obvious. And that's because power is very scarce. Mm-hmm. These villages don't have any grid electricity. We had to provide a little solar panel charging station that we designed for each of the two communities we worked with. And in developed Western countries, we don't really think very much about how much power our tablets are using. We care about battery life, but we don't care about how much juice you have to put into the thing to make it work. About 50% of the power that comes out of the wall gets lost before it gets into the battery on your iPad, and we couldn't afford that. So we actually chose Motorola Zoom tablets for these two experiments, largely because they had a 12-volt charging system that was very compatible with a solar panel sort of environment.
Okay, so after dropping off these tablets, watching the kids, observing them, give us a timeline of what happened and when. I'm curious, like, how long before the kids were able to even turn on the devices?
Well, the first village, we set things up in late January, and then the second we did in late March, but the environment was very much the same. And we gave the children the tablets with no instruction, with no directions, with no guidance, and left them to experiment. And part of the value of this entire experiment is in taking advantage of the fact that we're all natural teachers. We all love to show people how to do what we know how to do, and we love to share things that we've discovered ourselves. So in the first village, it took about 4 minutes. In the second village, it took about 15 minutes. But once one child had discovered what to do, it took about 30 seconds before everybody knew what to do.
Right.
And, you know, it really takes off very quickly.
There's a video on the One Laptop Per Child blog that shows the program's progress. Now, here in week two, we're going to hear just a clip of a child playing with an alphabet app, pressing the buttons and mimicking the sounds. So there, the letter comes up and you hear the computer voice saying A, and the kid says A. How did you follow their progress aside from taking video and monitoring the kids physically?
Well, we really wanted to understand a number of dimensions about the project. Did the tablets work at all? Were the children actually able to figure them out? Did the software give them any advantages? There were a number of dimensions. So we designed some software that collected a lot of data about the environment, how the tablets were being used, which applications were being used, when they were being used, and collected and stored all that data on the device's internal memory and then wrote it out to an SD card.
Mm-hmm.
Our technical team in Addis Ababa traveled to each site once a week, and it's about a full day trip to each village, and then collected the data, swapped the SD cards out, put in some new SD cards, made any configuration changes or updates that we sent to them, and then that data was actually sent back to the U.S. for analysis. And just to give you an idea of the environment that we're in, the fastest way to move that data back to me is to put it onto a USB drive and send it by FedEx.
Mm-hmm.
Ethiopia has one of the lowest internet penetration rates in the world as well.
Ed McNerney is with us. He's Chief Technology Officer for the One Laptop Per Child Foundation. He and his team recently conducted an experiment in Ethiopia, dropping off preloaded tablet computers without any instruction on how to use them and observing how quickly the kids picked things up. Well, that's a question, Ed. Why not just train teachers and place them there to help kids learn how to use the tablets, especially when the need for more hands-on education sounds so urgent?
Oh, that's absolutely true. Part of the problem that we're trying to address is the fact that there are about 100 million children around the world who don't get to go to school. They don't have teachers. They don't have schools. There's nothing available to them. And, you know, if you can give a child a great teacher and a great school, that's wonderful. But we need to understand what we can do for the children where that's not possible. And in some places in the world, you know, if you've got a hurdle that says you've only got about a 50% adult literacy rate in the entire country, creating teachers, adequate teachers for all those children is not an easy task, and it's going to take some time. So we really wanted to ask the question, what can you do in those situations where you don't have access to a teacher and you don't have access to a school? Can you take children who live in an entirely illiterate community where English is not spoken, and give them tools, and can they discover and can they make progress entirely on their own? And I think one of the things that we've seen is that the transition from laptops to tablet computers with these direct manipulation interfaces really create a whole new level of approachability for these children, so that once they got started, they took off pretty quickly.
I've read quite a bit about responses and criticism, some of them, to the One Laptop Per Child mission since its origins at Davos, I guess, in 2006. Some have said, you know, the technology is cute. You know, others says charge that you've emphasized the value of the laptop to the detriment of things like textbooks or other classroom materials, or address the lack of training. How will these experiments in Ethiopia help you respond to those criticisms?
Well, I think some of those criticisms are, you know, imposing a view of what's appropriate in a more developed environment onto a less developed environment. Textbooks are a perfect example. Okay? Paper is heavy. It costs a lot to ship. It gets destroyed if you get it wet. Wouldn't you rather have a waterproof laptop with 100 books on it? It's cheaper and quicker. So I think a lot of those lessons are lessons that really don't apply to the environments that we're working in.
Well, Ed, thank you so much for joining us.
You're very welcome. Thanks.
Ed McNerney is Chief Technology Officer for the One Laptop Per Child Foundation. Now, you can read more about the OLPC project and see videos from the experiment with preloaded tablets in Ethiopian kids. Really something to witness how these kids go to work with them. That's at wordofmouthradio.org. I don't get what it is.